Good evening, James McKenna here with my Science Hour. This is for April 8th, 2021, and you may hear some noise in the background. I'm not in my nice, normal studio with the surround sound and sound cancellation and all that other good stuff. So anyway, that's okay. Life in the big city, as I always say. Tonight is a collage of topics that have just come at us. And I have to cover these. Netflix, just this past week, came out with a video, and it's gotten, you know, 1.8 million views on YouTube. It's probably in other places. It's probably being passed around in private video sessions. But it's about the world water crisis, they are saying. And in 2010, maybe somewhere in that time frame, I wrote a book simply called Water. And in it, I talk about the real situation with water. And it comes down to one very simple thing. All you have to remember is that there is not a water crisis on planet Earth. There is a water management crisis. And so I'll go through some of the issues here. And anyway, that book is free online, so I'm not going to go and repeat the book here. Many people have responded to that. They've written in and asked for a copy of the book, which I send out for free, by the way. And anybody that buys something from my website, especially the books, then they get it for free. I don't send it out with the water filter products as the norm. But if you do buy something, just send, you know, the email that you get, just respond to it. And the email address you'll get with the order, and just say, hey, can I get one of those free water books? Because it really takes apart the theme that they're trying to pawn off on you is fear porn. And I wrote a response on the webpage, on the YouTube webpage. I don't think it'll probably last very long. Number one, because it has my name on it. Number two, because it criticizes the New World Order, which owns YouTube. It criticizes climate change science. You know, it's all of the politically correct things I'm going against here. But I'm going to read my comment online, and then there's just a dozen other comments. And by the way, I'm going to talk about something. I just dropped a few hints on previous shows about water. Milk intolerance or lactose intolerance. And the very important nature of that little fact in understanding who the true Israelites are. So I'll be talking about that. And a little bit more about the Rothschilds and Baal worship, etc. So let me dive right in here. The Netflix video, repeat some of the fun facts that they try and convince you that there is a global water crisis. There is not a global water crisis. If you took the water from Canada, for example, of which there's massive amounts of water, it's the number one water, freshwater source in the world, literally, if you take away the Greenland ice cap and the Antarctica, and even the North Pole has a considerable amount of fresh water frozen up there in the tundra, in the ice cap. But the entire problem is you cannot move it. And so, for example, in this video, they say, this thing is so full of New World Order agenda that it just stinks and reeks. For example, meat. They say that it takes, so many gallons of water for the T-shirt you wear, or so many gallons of water for meat. And they specifically address meat. And what they're saying is that if you eat meat, then it's taking up all of this water. But if you eat this really swell Bill Gates-funded, it's like made from worms that are harvested in a laboratory, then you'll be saving the environment. The only problem is the water is where the meat is grown. And so, say, if you take the rain that falls on the plains of the United States where the beef is raised, then that water is there already, and you can't take that water and move it to Mexico City or Sao Paulo or Cape Town where there's a lack of water or alleged lack of water. So anyway, the issue is what they're trying to do is throw statistics at you to wow you, but as soon as you pull back the first onion layer, you know, it all goes away. There's no substance to what they're saying. And so let's look at Cape Town, South Africa. Guess what? Cape Town is on the ocean. It's an ocean port city. You have the world's oceans at its disposal. So to date, reverse osmosis has been the primary method of gathering water from seawater. And there are some problems with it. It takes a lot of energy, but that I can solve very easily by using the wing generator. Cape Town has lots of wind. It has lots of water in the ocean, and you can desalinate it. And it's got a lot of peripheral area where you could dump the sludge and then recuperate the salt and have that as a marketable product. So you could do something with desalination. But there are other methods of getting the salt out of the water, and one of them is nature's own very own method. And so are these droughts being man-manipulated is one question. But the other point is that you can take and create weather to make it rain. How do you do that? You use the same techniques to create a low-pressure cell, the same techniques using laser satellites to just spin off a little low-pressure cell there. It evaporates, the wind evaporates the water off the ocean. You move that low-pressure cell in over Cape Town, and it rains. And the old method of silver seeding or silver halide seeding of clouds is not a good method because typically a place like Cape Town is just dry. It's a desert-like area. But you can make it rain in the most desert-like area of the planet by creating low-pressure cells with laser satellites. The vortex, the so-called polar vortex, caused all of the tremendous cold weather in Texas recently looked very manipulated. In other words, if you can make it cold and snow in Texas, you can make it rain in Cape Town. And then you take here's the list of towns and cities that they say are hitting what they call day zero, that they will have to shut off their water because there's simply no more water. They've run out of water. So it's Cape Town, Sao Paulo, Brazil, Melbourne, Australia, Jakarta, London, Beijing, Istanbul, Tokyo, Bangalore, and Barcelona, and Mexico City. Okay, well, once again, you have a water management problem. All of this can be cured primarily, and when I read my little expose that I put on there, in fact, if you go to this, see if my comment is still there and add some support to it. Like say, yeah, McCanny is right. But like I say, I don't think YouTube is going to let that sit there for very long. Traditionally, my name is completely removed from YouTube immediately. There's a bot there that does that. Okay. They say they have some of these fun facts, like 7 in 10 in the world live with water availability. Well, that's just completely hogwash. That's not a true statistic at all. Much fewer than 7 in 10 people have water in the world. It's more like 1 in 100 have access to decent water. And if you look in the United States, they're not counting. If you turn on your faucet, it looks like clean water coming out, but it's not. It's full of chemicals. The United States has some of the most polluted water on the planet. It's horrific. So anyway, you can see where this is going because they use terms like existential crisis. This woman they keep having on here, her name is Betsy Otto. She's a New World Order scientist that they put up there as some kind of an expert. And clearly, she's not an expert in anything except repeating her lines. They're talking about 2040, global water crisis. Well, by 2040, we should have plenty of water available to everybody. And so anyway, Let me quick read the response that I put. Let me pull this up here. Here it is. This is my response to the Netflix video on YouTube, which got 1.8 million views. Hopefully some people will see my comment before it gets ripped down by YouTube, the CIA-owned misinformation site. Okay, so here's what I said, and I will just read it verbatim. It's a little bit long, so listen. I say, here we go. Just like oil, this is a manufactured fear porn video to give control of water to the governments of the New World Order. That is in capital letters. Now, I say, can you say fear porn? Linked to the climate change, that should be the tip-off right away. There's not a water crisis. It is a water management crisis being orchestrated by the same people who are making sure the global corporations, which they control, will own all the water and will charge you and your grandchildren dearly. This video is preparing all of you to accept this absurdity. Get a clue, we live on a planet that has more water than land. They lie with false statistics to impress you. Remember the many oil shortages? There never was one. But you all believed it and paid outrageous prices for gas and sat in lines fighting each other while the oil companies were laying off geologists because they had discovered so much oil you could never use it all. It's the same people are peddling this fear porn. The woman who keeps appearing is a New World Order scientist. Scientist in quotes. They put these experts in quotes, out there to convince you of this non-reality. Most of the cities cited for day zero do not have a water crisis. They have a water management crisis. See my book, Free for the Asking, Water. Converting seawater to fresh water is easy. There are better methods than reverse osmosis. So where is the water crisis? There isn't one. Do away with flush toilets. With dry toilets, you solve the water problem and create compost that will rebuild the land. Imagine how stupid a flush toilet is. You take a little pee and poop, mix it with 3 to 5 gallons of clean fresh water, and then flush it down the drain with all of your other water so that all of the water becomes severely polluted. Sound like a good idea to you? Los Angeles residents flush more fresh water down the drain in just 3 days than all the other use of water combined. As I said, there's not a water crisis, it is a water management crisis. Water is the most abundant molecule on the surface of the earth, and they're trying to convince you there is a shortage. If you buy into this, then I've got a bridge to sell you. That's my comment. So go there, and by the way, it's a YouTube. Here's the name of it. It's a Netflix World's Water Crisis. So go there and see if you can see my comment. And if it's still there, do some replies. Stick some of your own 2 cents worth in there. But yeah, that's just pure energy porn. And at the very end, they talk about Mexicali, Mexico, and where the Constellation brands, that's the brand that makes the Mexican beer, which is really great beer. If you're a beer lover, you know, the Corona and the Modelo and those beers. They just opened up a great big plant in Mexicali in northern Mexico. And, of course, that's so they can ship it across the border easily. It's right there. And but they're going to use the water out of the Rio Grande River to make the beer. And, of course, I hope they filter it first, filter the pee and poop and everything that's coming down from wherever in the United States. But anyway, there's a big problem there because the farmers raise crops there. And there was some criticizing of the farmers because they were raising alfalfa in the middle of the desert by flooding the desert. And so anyway, you know, and there's, let me put it this way. Yes, we do have a water crisis in certain areas, but it's primarily linked to the fact of overpopulation in very limited areas. If you look at the places they list, all these big cities, We're talking Tokyo, Mexico City. Mexico City, 22 million. Tokyo, 20 million. You know, Barcelona, if you look at Melbourne, Australia, Sao Paulo. Look at Melbourne on the ocean. You know, they've got the whole Pacific Ocean there available, and they're trying to tell these people there's a water shortage. Excuse me, there's no water shortage. There's a water management problem is the issue. And something I do also, I deal with water all the time. Even in the driest desert area, if you have catchment, and that means you're taking the rainwater, you're not letting it run down the river out into the ocean, which actually does some damage to the ocean also. But if you have a system of water where you store that water, then every place on this planet has plenty of water, not just enough, but more than plenty. Water that you would then use for all of your needs. The reality is, let's take a place that is some of the driest places on Earth. Let's take the middle of the Gobi Desert out in Asia. There is a place that during the old camel routes, in fact, the camel routes are still going there, this little country formed around a place where it only rains like 2 days of the year. But what they did is they have this water that goes into cisterns, and they developed underground. They actually carved out caverns underneath the water during the dry season. And then these caverns, they funneled the water in there. And the camels stop there and pay taxes and buy water as part of the... And this country survives off of simply selling the water it gathers that falls from the sky. And so that's why they want to prevent you from getting water from the sky. There are many municipalities and the control of water. And this is all fear porn so that companies can take over privatization of water and make you pay for it. That's what this is all about. Nothing more, nothing less. And when you see them link it to climate change, and that's where this, I won't use derogatory terms, but this... improperly educated woman, Betsy Otto, comes in as some kind of an expert. You know, they always got to drag these people in. And I'm sorry, I've been around education a long time, and she doesn't rank up. She's not the brightest bulb on the tree. Let me just put it that way. Okay, so anyway, I got to keep moving here, but go take a look at that video, the Netflix World's Water Crisis. And if my comment is still there, throw some gasoline on the fire and keep that comment going. Okay, very good. Okay, the last few weeks I've been talking about the Israelites, and somebody wrote in and said, are the Rothschilds then Israelites because they're from Germany, supposedly? And I said, no, the Rothschilds are descendants of Baal and Baal worshippers. And the whole use of usury, which they foster and also own the Federal Reserve Bank of the United States, the Corporation of the United States, these are the Jesuits, and there's a mix here. There's Khazarian Jews from the steppes of Russia, and then there are the Jesuits, which came from Spain. They're called crypto-Jews. They hide behind the cloak of the Catholic Church, but they're still doing their secret societies and pedophilia and devil worship and everything else. There's some very good articles that somebody sent to me. And by the way, I've gotten a ton of response from these articles. But anyway, Veterans Today had some very excellent articles on the Khazarian Mafia and the Jesuits that are basically running the Catholic Church. They also make the point that the Khazarian Jews have taken over Judaism, what is actually mistermed Judaism, because Judah, the region of the Mideast, which was called Judea, was really not related to the Jews either. And so, these names are so misplaced and misused that people have forgotten the original meaning. In fact, there are churches now that are teaching that Christ was a Jew, which is simply not true. He was an Israelite. And blonde hair, blue-eyed, light, you know, fair-skinned. But I'll be talking a little bit about this as we go, as I talk about this lactose tolerance and lactose intolerance issue. But go to Veterans Today. They have two very good articles. One is dealing with the Khazarian Mafia, the other one dealing with the Jesuits. And as with anything, I would have presented a few things a little bit differently. I would have actually combined those two articles because it's very essential to understand, because the banking, which is the also being promulgated throughout the world by the Khazarian Mafia, is also related to the World Bank run by the Jesuits, which came out of Spain, the crypto Jews coming out of Spain. But anyway, it's very important to understand this, because the Israelites are having their history stolen from them. Okay, so I'll move back to that topic in a minute when I start talking about lactose intolerance. I also wanted to make a comment about how people's brains are wired. Now, I'm an Israelite, and since I was little, I had a hard time making stuff up and lying. Being honest with myself is something, and, you know, we all have our little variations here and there, but, you know, keeping your story straight, in my mind, if I tell a lie, then I can't keep track of it. And if you tell another lie to keep track of that one, you can't keep track of it. Your brain is not set up to lie. At least mine isn't. And so I have to keep myself honest and it's easy to remember the truth. It's very difficult to remember lies and all the other lies you have to make to cover your lies. And so I just maintain the truth. And if it's difficult, somebody asks you a difficult question, a personal thing or something like that, then I just tell the truth. And if you listen to me on radio interviews, that's why people like my commentary, because I get right to the heart of the matter and I don't pull punches. I tell it like it is, and people understand. And when people listen to what I say, they go, yeah, this guy knows what he's talking about. He's telling the truth. And so anyway, but there's another whole genre of people on this planet whose brains are wired differently. They do keep track of their lies. The Hillary Clintons, the Bill Clintons, the Bushes, the Bidens. I mean, the long list, you know, the Rice, what's her name? The one that got up and lied about the Benghazi deal. And, you know, these people get caught in their lies by other people, you know, by people that finally say, well, you said this here and you're saying this over here. They can't keep track of their lies, but they do it. They'll speak with forked tongues. And there's videos, for example, of Hillary Clinton, who gives a talk, and she's talking to the people in a political speech, and she's going, oh, how we're helping you with the insurance and all this other stuff. And then she goes in front of a bunch of bankers and she says, you know, we tell them this, but the real story is this. And she'll say that in front of the bankers that came out in some WikiLeaks releases. But anyway, what I'm telling you is there is a genre of people who grow up creating lies and lie histories, and basically speaking with forked tongue. And that's true. The old Native Americans used to say the white man speaks with forked tongue. In other words, you know, you're saying this, but what you're really doing is over there, is what you're really meaning is that. So you're speaking double, and it's a form of deception. But the point is, there are people who grow up with that mindset. And anyway, I'm not going to go into any more of that, but that's part of the mafia, the Khazarian Mafia. Is it's inbred in them from the time they're kids, little kids. And I think their brain is actually wired to be that way, to create deception. And to it's a form of cunning. It's like lions chasing down a water buffalo on the plains of Africa. They go around and they trick the buffaloes to run in a certain way, and then the the other lions are coming in from a different direction. It's a planned deception. And they do it, they can keep pulling this every time, and that's the way their brains are put together. So the Rothschilds and the Khazarian Jews and the Jesuit Jews that run the Catholic Church, that's the way their brains are wired to give this presentation to you of the holy robe and the all of the ceremony and the pomp and circumstance. And in the background, they're trafficking little kids. You know, I don't know, it can't get much lower than this. In fact, George Bush Sr. once said, he was quoted as saying, we can't let people find out what they're doing. If people found out what we were actually doing, they would take us out and hang us. Quote from George Bush Sr. Okay, anyway, let me move on. Time is passing quickly here. This week, pictures came out of buses full of young military-aged African and Mideast males who are being brought across the Mexican border and then being taken to military bases. There's no women, there's no children, this is not humanitarian. These are military-aged males, and there's an estimate now that there's about 36,000 of them in the United States already, and they're bringing in more, potentially up to, within another month, potentially up to 100,000. So they're bringing them to Mexico, bringing them up to the border, and they're being brought through this so-called humanitarian open border and being shipped off to military bases in the United States. And nobody can go in and see these military bases. They're off limits, even to Congress. There's a video of Ted Cruz went down to the facility in Mexico to see the little kids in cages, and he was there with his telephone, and this woman, so it's obviously a young, looked like a young co-ed, and she had been just hired a couple days previously for, I don't know, under Homeland Security or one of these agencies, and she kept screaming at him and getting in front of the camera. And she's saying, don't film them. It's for their dignity, for their dignity. All this bleeding heart, liberal garbage. And this was Ted Cruz with a fleet of senators that went down there to see what the situation was. And this is who they send to try and divert him from actually finding out what's going on there. Okay. And by the way, I have a new web page. It's up. It looks a little different. The content is pretty much the same, but I've cut over to a brand new WordPress web page. And so anyway, that's there. So I've gone modern. And some of the links are still missing. They're not quite working perfectly, but we're working on all of that and some of the colors and things like that. So there's a few little touches that have to still be made. But go to my web page. You can go there. The link, this link works. jmccsci.com, and go check out the new webpage. It looks a lot like the old one, but it's new. There is some in the air, let's put it that way, it's been released, that supposedly the CIA and the U.S. government is going to make some kind of massive release of UFO information in June of this year. Believe me, folks, nothing's going to happen. This is garbage. It's a way to get the UFO people, the people that follow this story, thinking that somehow there's going to be disclosure. There isn't. This is not going to happen. They're going to put out something, and it's going to be enough to have people go around and, oh, look at this, and not a single shred of it will be anything that's a proof of UFOs or the government doing anything, okay? So just get a clue. This past week, Mike Lindell, he's Mr. Pillow. Remember Mr. Pillow? He advertised and sold these tremendous pillows and made a lot of money. And so anyway, when the 2020 election theft came along, he said, hey, he went out and personally pursued this, so he got completely banned from all the social media and YouTube, etc. So he created his own television station, and then he's had people on there interviewing and researching. and tabulating and preparing court cases, et cetera. And not only that, but getting the legislatures of various states coordinated in their effort to expose the fraud of the 2020 presidential and downvote also elections all the way down to mayor and city council. But anyway, this past week he had an interview with a physicist, and I think the guy's last name was Frank, but you can go see this. It's on Lindell TV. It's L-I-N-D-E-L-L TV. L-I-N-D-E-L-L TV. Mike Lindell. But anyway, there's a couple different videos. One of them is called Scientific Proof. And the other one, I think it's the second one that they just released just the other day, has to do with a physicist who was teaching calculus, something that I can relate to. That's what I did when I was teaching university level. I taught physics, I taught calculus, I taught a very long list of mathematics courses. But anyway, this physicist was teaching differential calculus, and they were using census statistics from 2010 for their study to study differential calculus. And he remembered kind of the shape of this graph, etc. So anyway, he personally went in and he started downloading the voting results from various counties in Pennsylvania. He went at the county level where that's the basis for the vote that then gets moved up to the state level, then it gets summed up to the federal level. But he was looking at this online statistics for states. And what he noticed is that the voting results and the voter registration results followed the exact same pattern of people. So many people at a given age were registered to vote. That's what this was, voter registration statistics, numbers. And he noticed that it was exactly the same as the 2010 census statistics. And so he thought, that's interesting. He said, you know, at the first county he looked at, and he went to another county, and it was the exact same statistical distribution of people, voter registration numbers, and it was by age. So there was age across the x-axis, the base axis, and then the number of people registered to vote along the vertical axis, and it was a graph of this. So anyway, so every county he went to in Pennsylvania had the exact same distribution of voters, which is impossible. It's not possible. You know, there'd be some correlation, you know, that there's not as many 80-year-olds, but the exact same distribution. And he noticed, too, that they had these two little bumps, like 62 and 65-year-old. There were these little two bumps in the graph. And so that's what kind of clued him, because he had seen these bumps before. Anyway, it's a very good video. I can't recount everything here on this show. But this guy lays it out, and so he went around to all of the counties. He went to Colorado. He exposed that in Colorado, almost all of the counties had more than 100% of the population registered to vote, which is impossible. You usually get about, you know, somewhere a percentage less than everybody in the county. And they showed how in some counties, 150% of the voting population were registered and voted for Joe Biden. And that's where they got all these numbers. And then he showed also how they when they hit 3 o'clock in the morning, all of these voting compilation stations who were cheating for Biden, the people were calling up, what do we do? Because Trump was blowing the numbers out of the water with real votes. Even though they were switching Trump to Biden votes, even though they had an algorithm in there that gave this voter distribution to Biden, Trump was blowing it out of the water so badly that even the cheating could not beat Trump. So they had to go in and change the algorithm, and he showed how they do this. And so every county in the United States had the exact same voter profile of registered voters, and he's proving this, that this is not only in the Dominion voting machines, but all the voting machines, and they were online at the time. They got the updates at the same time, and the peer proof that the 2020 presidential and downline elections were rigged and completely. And so then they're starting to go after, they know individuals that were involved in this, because people were in the centers where at 3 o'clock in the morning these people are making phone calls going, what do we do? This, Trump is beating the election. He's winning the election even in spite of the cheating. And so there's a lot of people that are going to prison. We're going to have to build a new prison just to hold all the people involved in the voter fraud. Estimate probably 100,000 people will go to prison and then reverse this election. So this is all just coming out right now. So I want you to go there, go see this. And already 150 million people have seen these videos. And that's private off of Mike Lindell's own server. So anyway, very important. Once again, I'm going to make this one announcement one more time. 10 years ago, I sold some dent corn seed on my webpage. And if anybody has any reference to that, please let me know. Go to the webpage. The email for the webpage is the webpage email is listed on the webpage. How to contact? Just go to at the very top. It says contact us. Click on that, and it'll give the email address. Let me know if you have grown this corn in isolation, and if you still have some seeds for that. Okay, my final topic here, there's one other little issue. John Moore mentioned that he has on his webpage a link from Alex Jones dealing with the coronavirus, exposing that for what it is. So go there and take a look at that. And then also, I made mention, I think it was when I was on the Power Hour last month, which, by the way, I'll be on there next week on the Power Hour with Daniel Brigham next Wednesday, I think noon. And but anyway, the last time I was on there, I'm always on the second Wednesday of the month on the Power Hour with Daniel Brigham. But I mentioned something about the Dewey Decimal System and the Dewey Educational System. And in fact, somebody wrote in, and I don't remember how exactly I said this, but it sounded like I was mixing the two people who did this, and there's actually two different people. So I'm just clarifying this on the air, that Melville Dewey was the one who did the Dewey Decimal System for books. So in the libraries, you go into the physical library, you pull out the little card catalog drawer, and the catalog system, the Dewey Decimal catalog system, was installed by Melville Dewey. And then John Dewey was the guy who did the education system that basically was designed to bring back the American public into the British Empire. And that goes along with Rhodes, Cecil Rhodes, and everything he did. You know, that all of these people that you see are Rhodes Scholars. You know, what's her name, Rice and Clinton, Bill Clinton, I mean. And there's about 7,000 of them revolving around Washington. And these, Cecil Rhodes, you can look it up on the internet, Cecil Rhodes' objective, his main objective was to take these people out of the United States, educate them at Oxford, under the program of Rhodes Scholars, and then take them aside while they're there and tell them the whole point of their going back to the United States is to bring the United States down and bring it back under the British Empire. That's the entire purpose of the Rhodes Scholars. And by the way, when they're there, Susan Rice, that's the name I couldn't remember here. Susan Rice, yeah, she's a Rhodes Scholar, Bill Clinton, and a long list of the people that you commonly see roving around the Democratic Party and Republican Party. You know, it's not a party issue. It's a matter of taking these people, and they're willing players because they get a lot of benefits. Being a Rhodes Scholar, it's kind of like having a ticket written for you for life. And you can't do anything wrong because they're going to protect you. There's also part of this operation that, look at Bill Clinton. I mean, he went through, you know, all kinds of stuff that a lot of it was never public. You know, the Monica Lewinsky thing was very public. But Billy had his fingers and nose into a lot of stuff, like pretty big piles of cocaine and, you know, and then nothing ever touched him. He was the Mr. Untouchable. And that's because they protect their people. They, you know, the court system is rigged. You know, all it takes is a phone call from somebody. You know, judge has got a case before him. Sheriff has got a case before him. FBI, CIA, whoever it is, and calls up and says, yeah, you know, this is, we'll take care of this. Oh, okay. No investigation. These people get a clean slate no matter where they go. You know, Susan Rice comes on national television, lies to the public about Benghazi, that it was due to a video, knowing fully well that that was a lie. And then, you know, anyway, on and on and on. So, let me jump on to the topic of lactose tolerance. Now, let me just go back in previous weeks, my March 4th radio show. If you have not listened to that, you have to listen to that. That's kind of the basis for this. Now, this is a topic I've talked about. You know, the Colburn Bible, which is not a Bible. The Colburn, which is really, that kind of slips out. People call it Colburn Bible. It is not a Bible. It's a summary. It's a compilation of Joseph of Arimathea's books that were left over from the fire at the Abbey at Glastonbury when the Romans came in around 300 AD, something like that. Finally got all the way to the Abbey, and the people there, the Celts, they knew the Romans were coming and what they were going to do, so they took as much as they could out of there and held it for over the literally centuries, thousands of years, and this finally emerged around 1993, and then it worked, and I finally got into my hands, and that's when I published my Atlantis to Tesla, the Colburn Connection book, which introduced it to the Western world, basically. That night, I introduced that book on Coast to Coast. George Norrie was the host, and that book had pre-sailed quite a bit, let's just put it that way. But that night when he read the title on the air, I sold $42,000 worth of that book, and I can't remember the list price. It was like $14.95 or something. I can't remember. But anyway, $42,000 worth of books that night, and then it continued because I hit all the topics. Tesla, the Colburn, Atlantis, you know, ancient secret societies. That's where the whole topic of secret societies came from. On that interview, if you go back and listen to it, George asked me, he says, Jim, what's a secret society? Because he had the book in his hand, and the title was announced on the show. I pre-sold quite a bit without anybody knowing the title. And so when the title was announced, let me tell you, they buried the server with orders. And the next morning I woke up, and my merchant account, which I had a much lower balance, allowable limit for a month. I think it was at $5,000 a month at that point. And here all of a sudden I have $42,000 worth of orders, because I'd been selling my books and water filters. I never went over $5,000 in a month. That was way back in the early days of my radio show. But anyway, my merchant account thought maybe I had some kind of a scam going on. So they said, we won't give you the money until you fulfill all these orders. And so I literally had to print all of the books. It was like many printings of the book, and there was 1,000 books in every printing. And I had to have many printings done, send them all out, and then get confirmation from the people that they had received the books back. This is back before ebooks, et cetera, and literally send them physically, and they went all over the world, and get verification back so I could give it to my merchant account and say, here, this is the product, this is what was sold, people received it, please give me my money, thank you very much, which they did. But just that's, you know, the Atlantis to Tesla, the Colburn Connection book is still selling. It's still in my library. And when I write these books, I write them for all time. But anyway, the Colburn is the remnant of the library of Joseph of Arimathea. And I, in my March 4th radio show, very much include him to as kind of the a very important and old person in old Rome. Very important. Okay, so anyway, in subsequent weeks, I talked about other topics. And I dropped a hint in a couple of the shows. I talked about this group that was archaeologically verified to have moved through Northern Europe in, they're saying, around 5,000 BC is what they carbon date, but I don't believe carbon dating at all. Once you get back over 1,000 years ago, carbon dating in my book is pretty worthless. But anyway, I would put the society that moved through Northern Europe was more like a number of thousand years more recent. But that's neither here nor there. The point is that that group that moved from the Caucasus Mountains west through Europe, and that's where the Israelites traveled, they were the group that came out of Egypt with Moses, the Israelite the families, the heritage of the coming down from Abraham. Okay, so anyway, the point about this group of people is that they were lactose tolerant. Okay, and so I just dropped that hint. So that was one of the issues. And then on last week's show, I kind of gave you a little prelude for this show, and I mentioned lactose tolerance as a test of the Israelites, and I really didn't say any more about it. So anyway, this show I'm going to concentrate on just that topic alone, and it's extremely important. It's one of those little tidbits from history. Now, let's go back to the Old Testament. Moses is leaving Egypt with the Israelites. They're leaving, and Pharaoh believes he owns these people. They're part of his subjects. Just like imagine if the people in England got up right now and said, we're leaving. They start walking down the street and the queen comes out and says, you can't leave. You're my people. You know, you're my subjects. I own you. That's the equivalent. And that's what Pharaoh did. And that's very typical of a lot of leaders in history, is they start to consider you, the public, as their property, as you, they're owned. You are owned by them. And that's going on today. So anyway, Moses, you know, the big catastrophe hits. Venus, the comet, comes by. The Israelites have the Passover. They have to seal up their buildings with mud so no air can get in because of the poisoning that's going on as the comet goes by, etc. And so when the Passover is over and the comet has actually passed Earth and the shock waves have hit, remember, there was a pole shift when Venus came by. They start, the Israelites get up and they just leave. They start marching out, and you remember the whole story. I'm not going to repeat the biblical story. But at any rate, Moses is leaving with the Israelites. So then there's the incident at the Red Sea, where the pillar of fire, that is actually the electrical discharge coming from the comet Venus down to the Earth, and there are the signatures of that electrical discharge in the Mideast right there. And so that's another topic for another day. But it was blocking Pharaoh's armies. And so anyway, that gave the Israelites time as the Red Sea is sloshing back and forth with the tidal waves from the comet passing by. They cross over the Red Sea, get to the other side, and then the Pharaoh goes into the same path. And the Red Sea sloshes back and washes them under. And they found the Pharaoh's chariots in the Red Sea. They found them. There was a big write-up in National Geographic. And I think they were very remiss about putting that in there because now they totally deny it. But no, those chariots were in the Red Sea. This was a historical event. Okay, now starts the part that I want to get to. The Israelites are wandering in the desert, and it's desert there. Remember, Moses goes up to the tower. There were incidents where they pooled all their resources and they started worshiping Baal worship, the gold and the figurines and the paganism and the heathenism and all of that stuff. And Moses comes down, he's got the Ten Commandments, and he breaks them. He breaks the stone tablet with the Ten Commandments on it. This is all in the history books in the Bible. Okay, so anyway, they regroup, and they are wandering in the desert now, and their way is lit by this big pillar of light in the sky, which is the comet, which the Mayans talk about this, the Chinese talk about this, all of the Tibetans talk about this. Every ancient race that left us a record of these events talks about that very same thing. But anyway, here is the key point. The Israelites, they were promised a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, a lot of people think today that was Israel. And no, not at all. And remember that there were Israelites who stayed in Israel in the Mideast. And that was eventually the descendants of those people was where Christ came from, the house of David. But then a lot of the Israelites also moved up into the Caucasus, and that's where the term Caucasian comes from. The Israelites were Caucasian. They were white, you know, blue-eyed, blonde-haired. And so they moved up into what is now Western Russia, and they moved west across Northern Europe. And the thing about the Israelites is that they had lactose tolerance. Now, lactose tolerance is genetic. It's something that deals with your body's ability to digest the sugar. Lactose is a very complex sugar. And so there are people who are not able to digest it. And if you look today at the genetic fallout of these, and by the way, there's been a lot of great work done with these projects where they trace people's genetic strains and go back. They have proven that the Khazarian Jews are not from Israel. They're not from the Mideast. They're from Russia, you know, and that's the entire point. But anyway, the Israelites were the eventually settled northern France, northern Germany, the Scandinavia, and the British Isles and Ireland. And the Irish and the Scandinavians are probably the more pure of these. My ancestors were Vikings. They came from Norway and settled in northern and western Ireland. They were fishermen, potato farmers, and shipbuilders. And I probably have a bit of that in my blood right now. But anyway, that's not the point. But anyway, the getting back to the 40 years that the Israelites were wandering in the desert, they had no place to go. The world had been destroyed. Egypt had been just absolutely destroyed. So there's no place to go to. Pharaoh was gone. The whole hierarchy of order in Egypt was gone. And so they're wandering around in the desert, but with the promise that someday they would see the land of milk and honey. And remember that Moses died before they got to the land of milk and honey. And that was one of the things that, remember, he doubted God and they were in need of water. So God told him to touch the rock once. And so he touched the rock and water didn't come out, and he touched it again. And for that little aberration, Moses was not allowed into the promised land. He died before the Israelites got there. And so anyway, but they were searching for the land of milk and honey. Now, another little fun fact here along the way is that the Khazarian Jews, who now claim that they were with Moses coming out of Egypt, stealing the history of the Israelites, claim that they were with Moses, that they were the, you know, distraught tribe in Israel and in Egypt, and they came out with Moses. Well, that's not true. It was the Israelites, the true Hebrew Israelites, who came out of Egypt with Moses. But here's the key, is that the Jews are not lactose tolerant. In fact, they have the highest lactose intolerance of any historical genealogy in the world. Apart, there might be a group, I think, in Africa, some of the black people in Africa have more lactose intolerance, but they're not claiming that they were with Moses. the Jews are. And so anyway, the same with the Jesuits. But at any rate, the whole issue here is that the lactose tolerance, now look at the Irish people, have 100% lactose tolerance. And now somebody wrote in, and there was a little bit of confusion, and they said, there's a difference between pasteurized milk and unpasteurized milk, and that some people who cannot drink pasteurized milk can drink unpasteurized milk, and they were relating it to lactose tolerance, but that is patently false. You can look this up. It's very easily disproven, because lactose is in both unpasteurized and pasteurized milk. The pasteurization process does not remove the lactose. What removes the lactose is by adding a lactase. It's a bacteria that consumes the complex lactose sugar and breaks it into smaller sugars. And that is the process by removing lactose from milk, and then lactose intolerant people can drink milk. So anyway, but in terms of ancient history, Pasteur did not come around until, when Louis Pasteur came around, 1800s. But we're talking about ancient history when pasteurization was not available, it was not known, etc. And so the Irish and the Scandinavians, etc., are lactose tolerant 100%. The Jews, who claim that they came out of Israel with Moses, were lactose intolerant 100%. Now, why would you wish and long for a land flowing with milk and honey if you were lactose intolerant? It doesn't make any sense. So this is one other proof that the Jews, who claim they were with Moses, they got it all wrong. This is simply incorrect, fantasy, made-up, stolen history. And it's just one more issue. And now people have been writing in, many people have written in about this whole issue that the Irish and the Stone of Judah and the other, the kings being of Europe being crowned on the stone in Ireland as a tradition. It just goes on and on. The languages, the history, there's just so many things. It's too many to repeat on this show. But anyway, I wanted to get this topic in on the lactose tolerance, intolerance as a proof that once again that the Irish and the Northern Europeans and the Scandinavians and the original Celtic people of England, not the people that came in and took over England, not the Rothschilds of Germany, because they're not Celts, they're not original. They came in from the Khazarian Mafia from the Western Russia. Okay, so anyway, remember to go to my webpage, jmccsci.com. Go visit there. There's a new webpage up. It looks the same as the old one, kind of, but you'll see some major differences, and that allows me into the new modern age of internet marketing, which is what's that's all for. So jmccsci.com. This is James McCanny. This is my Science Hour, and as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.